Boaz and Ruth. This beautiful story shows what godly character is all about. It changes our mind to start thinking like God again. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The story starts with a man from Bethlehem in Judah, Elimelech, who moves to the Gentile country of Moab when there is severe famine in Israel. There, the man dies. His two sons marry Gentile women. And then the two sons die also. The name of the woman is Naomi, and the names of the two surviving daughters-in-law are Orpah and Ruth. Let us now read in the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 6, and further on. "Then Naomi left with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab to the land of Judah. She had heard that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each to your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of a husband.' And so she kissed them, and then lifted their voices, and they wept and said to her, 'Sure, we will return with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? No, my daughters, it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me.' Then they again wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then Naomi said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after her.' But Ruth said, 'Ask me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, because wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. But the Lord rebuke me, and even more, if anything but death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that she was determined to go with her, she stopped talking about it to her." Questions to discuss together. Please try to let everyone share a little, okay? What would Naomi have done if she would have gotten back to Israel all alone? After so much grief of losing husband and sons, would it not be terrible to be all alone? Could she have taken care of food on her own after having been away for so many years? Did she want the best for her daughters-in-law? New husbands? Did she want the best for her daughters-in-law, new husbands? They would have stayed within their own culture, but would have served false gods. Did Naomi do right to advise that they return to their false gods? Ruth chose to remain loyal to Naomi and serve the God of Israel. Did Ruth make a good choice? It would have been a lot easier for Ruth, it seems, if she had stayed with her own people. Is such loyalty of Ruth not beautiful? The two of them came to Bethlehem, and the whole city was excited. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" But she said, "Do not call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" Questions to discuss. Do you feel that Naomi was bitter toward God? Do you feel that God had treated her badly? Or should we always trust God that if we love Him, He will do the best thing that fits in His plans? Now they had come to Bethlehem at the time of the barley harvest. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor." And Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." She left and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And now look, Boaz came from Bethlehem and asked his servants who was in charge of the reapers. "Whose young woman is this?" And he answered, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi. And she asked me, 'Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' So she has continued from morning until now." Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in any other field or go from here, but stay close by my young women. Have I not commanded the young man not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn." So she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for protection." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maid servant, though I am not one of your maid servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back for Naomi. And when she got up to glean again, Boaz told his young man, "Let her glean among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. Also, let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and don't rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Then she took it up and went in the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out the food that she had received and gave to Naomi what she had kept back. Then Naomi said to her, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Then Ruth told Naomi, "The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz." And Naomi said, "Blessed is he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." Questions to discuss. Do you think that Ruth was calculative or selflessly caring for Naomi? Did she, as a foreigner, have a good reputation in Bethlehem? Was Ruth a hard worker? Did she work hard of selfish desires, or to bless and protect Naomi? Is it a good thing to work hard so that you have extras, so that you can give to the needy? How does Naomi now feel about the God of Israel? Is this not all about love and giving of self, laying down self so that we can bless others? And Naomi said to Ruth, "This man is a close relative." And Ruth said, "He also told me, you shall stay close by my young man until the end of the harvest." And Naomi said to Ruth, "It is good, my daughter. Do not go in any other field." So she stayed there until the end of the barley and wheat harvests. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi said, "My daughter, let me seek security for you, so that it may be well with you. Is Boaz not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But don't make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in. Uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Ruth said to her, "All that you say, I will do." Then she went to the threshing floor and did all Naomi had told her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he lay down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and a young woman was lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. And he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, because you have more kindness shown at the end than at the beginning, because you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Lie down until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning and arose before one could recognize another. Then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." And when Ruth returned, Naomi said, "Sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. Because this man will not rest until he has concluded this matter this day." Boaz went up to the gate and sat down there, and look, a close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said to him, "Come aside, friend, sit down here." So he sat down, and then Boaz took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down there." And they sat down. Then he said to the close relative, "Naomi sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And I thought to ask you in the presence of the elders of my people, please buy it back. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, then tell me so that I may know, for there is no one but you to redeem it. And I am next in line after you." And he said, "Yes, I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the field from Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance." Then the close relative said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I ruin my own inheritance. You redeem my right of redemption for yourself." And he took off his sandal to confirm the agreement. And Boaz said to the elders and to all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought all that belonged to Elimelech and all that was Chileans and Malons from the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, so that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses today." And all the people and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman." Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Because your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than 7 sons, has borne him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi," and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Ruth was virtuous and did not think of marrying a young man, but she wanted a son for Mahlon and Naomi. Is that not beautiful? Here are some questions to discuss. Was Boaz's relative selfish by not wanting to do what God said was his duty? Is Boaz selfish in wanting to have Ruth as a wife? Does Boaz truly wish the names of Elimelech and Mahlon to remain in the family and in Israel? Does this show a beautiful, loving, and serving spirit in Boaz? Is Obed then the son of Boaz or the son of Mahlon? Did Boaz become famous in Israel as the ancestor of King David and of our Lord Jesus Christ? Can you see that Boaz is here a type of Jesus, and that he, just like Jesus, became a redeemer through selfless giving? When I read or tell this story, I always get almost tears in my eyes. I understand now why. Whenever we start giving in a selflessly manner, something beautiful is going to happen. Beautiful things are created through giving, through a laying down of my life. This history book of some of God's people was undoubtedly written with the final paragraph of the book in mind. It records the genealogy of descendants of the patriarch Judah. It seemed so meaningless to record that information here. What does it have to do with the story? Until I understood the rest of the story, and here it follows. Judah, just like most of his brothers, had not always been an example of godliness. There was a lot of rebellion in his earlier life. So he had, against God's will, married a girl from the land of Canaan, with sad consequences. Many of his brothers did. Here is that story from Genesis 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua, and he married her and went into her. And she conceived and bore a son, and he called his name Er. She conceived again and bore a son, and she called him Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son, and called his name Shelah. He was at Chezib. He was at Chezib when she bore him. Then Judah took a wife for Er, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah then said to Onan, "Go in to your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up an heir to your brother."
But Onan knew that the heir would not be his. And when he went into his brother's wife, he emitted on the ground, lest he should give her an heir to his brother. And what he did displeased the Lord, and therefore he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah is grown." Because he thought, lest he also die like his brothers. And Tamar dwelt in her father's house. Now, in time, Judah's wife died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And it was told to Tamar, "Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." Then she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah, because she saw that Shelah was grown up, and she had not been given to him as a wife. When Judah saw her, he thought that it was a harlot, because she had covered her face. And then he turned to her by the way, and he said, "Please let me come in to you," because he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" And he said, "I will send a young goat from the flock." And she answered, "Will you give me a pledge until you send it?" And Judah said, "What pledge shall I give you?" And Tamar had answered, "Your signet and cord and your staff, that's in your hand." Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. And she went away, laid aside her veil, and put on the garments of her widowhood again. And when Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge back from the woman, he could not find her. Then he asked the man of that place, "Where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside?" And they said, "There is no harlot in this place." So he returned to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And the man of the place said that there was no harlot there. Then Judah said, "Let her take my things for herself, or we might be ashamed, because I sent this young goat, and you have not found her." But 3 months later, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Furthermore, she is with child by harlotry." Then Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." And when she was brought out, she said to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these belong, I am with a child." And she said, "Please find out whose these are, the signet, the cord, and the staff." Then Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her to Shelah my son." And Judah never knew her again. Later on, when God gives his law to the people of Israel through Moses, he also gives the following instruction in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. "A person who is of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord." To Tamar was born the illegitimate son Perez, an ancestor of Boaz. Imagine, Boaz had never been allowed to come into the assembly of the Lord and in God's presence in the tabernacle. He was only the seventh generation after Judah. What a heavy burden for a man who served his God so faithfully and honorably. Boaz's great-grandson, King David, would be that tenth generation that finally would be allowed to come back into God's presence. And how much did David make use of that privilege? As the youngest son of his father Jesse, he became a shepherd boy. He had much time to think about all the things his father must have told him, about not being allowed to come to the tabernacle of God, and that he, David and his brothers, would now be the first ones who could come close to God. Oh, how he had enjoyed that privilege and experienced God's closeness as he watched the sheep sitting there in the field on a rock and singing songs to praise his God, playing a harp and flute in great joy. And when we choose to worship our God so wholeheartedly, he will reveal himself to us. And strong faith can grow in our hearts. What a wonderful life! And can you now understand David's special joy when the Ark of God's covenant is brought into Jerusalem? And he is the first one allowed to be closely present? He went among the crowds and danced his heart out with the people in exuberance for his God's presence. Finally, now the curse on his family had ended. It would also be King David who gave his people so many psalms of worship. Yes, he taught God's people and us to worship him. This history book of some of God's people was undoubtedly written with the final paragraph of the book in mind. It records the genealogy of descendants of the patriarch Judah. It seemed to me so meaningless to record that information here at the end of the story of Boaz and Ruth, until I understood the rest of the story, and here it follows. Judah, just like most of his brothers, had not always been an example of godliness. There was a lot of rebellion in his earlier life, and so he had, against God's will, married a girl from the land of Canaan with sad consequences. And here is that story from Genesis 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he married her and went into her. And she conceived and bore him a son, and he called him Er. And she conceived again and bore another son, and she called him Onan. And she conceived yet again and bore a son and called his name Shelah. And Judah was at Shezib when she bore him these sons. Then Judah took a wife for Er, her name Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord killed him. And Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife and marry her, and raise up an heir for your brother. But Onan knew that the heir would not be his, and when he went in to his brother's wife, he emitted on the ground to prevent that he should give an heir to his brother. And what he did displeased God, and therefore he killed him also. Then Judah said to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, "Remain as a widow and go back to your father's house until my son Shelah is grown up." Because he thought, "If not, he may die just like his brothers." And Tamar dwelt in her father's house. Now in time Judah's wife died, and Judah was comforted and went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira the Adullamite. And that was told to Tamar. "Look, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." Then she took off her widow's garments, covered herself with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place which was on the way to Timnah. Because she saw that Shelah had grown up, and she had not been given to him as a wife. And when Judah saw her, he thought that it was a harlot, because she had covered her face. Then he turned to her by the way and said, "Please let me come in to you," because he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may come in to me?" And he said, "I will send a young goat from the flock." And she answered, "Will you give me a pledge until you send it?" And Judah said, "What pledge shall I give you?" And Tamar had answered, "Your signet and cord, and your staff that's in your hand." Then he gave them to her and went into her, and she conceived by him. And she went away, laid aside her veil, and put on the garments of her widowhood again. And when Judah sent the young goat by the hand of his friend the Adullamite to receive his pledge back from her, his friend could not find her. Then he asked the man of that place, "Where is the harlot who was openly by the roadside?" And they said, "There is no harlot in this place." So he returned to Judah and said, "I cannot find her." And the man of the place said, "There was no harlot there at all." Then Judah said, "Let her take my things for herself, or we might be shamed, because I sent this young goat and you've not found her." 3 months later, however, Judah was told, "Tamar, your daughter-in-law, has played the harlot. Moreover, she is with a child by harlotry." Then Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." And when she was brought out, she said to her father-in-law, "By the man to whom these things belong, I am with child." And she said, "Please, can you find out whose these things belong to, this signet and the cord and the staff?" Then Judah acknowledged them and said, "She has been more righteous than I, because I did not give her Shelah, my son." And he never knew her again. Later on, when God gives his laws to the people of Israel through Moses, he also gives the following instruction in Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. "A person who is of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the tenth generation, none of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. To Tamar was born the illegitimate son Perez, the son of Judah. Perez was an ancestor of Boaz. Imagine, Boaz had never been allowed to come into the assembly of the Lord and in God's presence in the tabernacle. He was only the seventh generation after Judah. What a heavy burden on a man who served his God so faithfully and honorably. Boaz's great-grandson, King David, would be that tenth generation that finally was allowed to come into God's presence. And how much did David make use of that privilege? As the youngest son of his father, Jesse, he became a shepherd boy. He had much time to think about all the things his father must have told him about not being allowed to come to the tabernacle of God, and that he, David, and his brothers would now be the first ones who could come close to God. Oh, how he had enjoyed his privilege and experienced God's closeness as he watched the sheep, sitting there in the field on a rock and singing songs to praise his God, playing a harp and flute in great joy. And when we choose to worship our God so wholeheartedly, he will reveal himself to us, and strong faith can grow in our hearts. What a wonderful life! And can you then understand David's special joy when the Ark of God's covenant is brought into Jerusalem and he is the first one allowed to be closely present? And he went among the crowds and danced his heart out with the people of God in exuberance for God's presence. Finally, now the curse on his family had ended. It would also be King David who gave his people so many psalms of worship. Yes, he taught God's people and us to worship him. End of the lesson.